Well, good morning, everyone. Please keep your Bibles open to that page. We're going to come back to that page at some point in the not-too-distant future. But this morning, we're starting a new sermon series. And we're going to spend today and the next six following weeks thinking about what church is, why church happens, and who is the church. In a sense, this could seem like totally unnecessary thing to do because we obviously know what church is because we're here, aren't we? Maybe it would be better off speaking to people who are out there who don't know about church, but I think it's important that we come to grips with what church is. I think in a group this size, there'll be a whole variety of thoughts and opinions and ideas about church. Some of us have spent our whole lives going to church. If you're old enough, that means you've probably been to church 3,000 to 4,000 times. That's more than I've had hot dinners. I'm not that young and you're not that old. But it probably means that some of us have some really firmly established patterns and ideas about church. And sometimes these patterns and ideas stretch back generations. Some of us have been part of a variety of different churches, even different denominations, which means we've got a wide view, a wide range of views about what church is. Some of us are very new to church, maybe testing things out, maybe still working out what it is that we believe about Jesus. And I want to say that wherever you fit into this patchwork of ideas and backgrounds, I'm really excited that you're here today. And I'm really excited that we get to dive into this topic together. Because what we think about church matters. And why does it matter? It matters because how we think about church, what we believe about church, goes a really long way towards shaping what we do, how we behave, and how we live as a church. So I'm going to give us all 30 seconds. Turn to the person near you and see if you can answer this question. What is church and why is church important? 30 seconds, I'm going to count it down. Go. All right, time's up. I kept to my word, 30 seconds. I'd actually love to hear some of your ideas afterwards and see if they match up with what we talk about today. But in a group this size, we're going to have a patchwork of ideas about what church is and why it's important. And if we remain with this patchwork of ideas, we'll all end up pulling in slightly different directions, working towards slightly different things. Sometimes all of them can be very good things, but it means we're not all on the same page into who church is, why we do what we do. So we're going to spend the next 6 weeks looking at some of the things that the Bible has to say about church to help us all align with God's direction for His church. And so the big idea for the series, the big title for the series, is that church is God's family on mission together for His glory. You're going to hear that a lot. Apparently repetition really helps you to learn things. We're going to hear that every week. God's family on mission together for His glory. And we're going to cover these topics that are coming up on the screen. Today we're going to think about God's glory in the church. Next week, God's family. A family that loves one another. A family that serves. A family gripped by the realities of heaven and hell. A family sharing Jesus' heart for the lost. A family holding out the good news. You'll see this each week too, so don't need to take photos. That's okay. But as we dive into this, I'm going to pray that God helps us and aligns our vision of church with His vision. Heavenly Father, thank You that we can be here this morning and to spend this time thinking about church. We pray that it will be really profitable for us and really encouraging. Please truly align our view of church with Your view. Help us to see Your plan for church that You've been working throughout all eternity. Help us to see church with your eyes and to be encouraged. Amen. Well, in our first sermon in this series, we're looking at God's glory in his church, which I think can, on the surface can seem like a really strange idea, because if we look around, church doesn't often feel all that glorious, does it? In fact, if we're honest, church can sometimes feel unimpressive and uninspiring. I mean, look, it's largely made up of unimpressive people, isn't it? And it's led by unimpressive and uninspiring people. It can feel like there are so many more things that are more exciting, better places to be on any given Sunday, rather than church. And sometimes we might feel that our hopes or our expectations aren't met by church, our desires. We might feel that the sermons are a bit boring, that the singing last week was a bit clunky, or the morning tea today, or the morning tea, a little bland. That's a dangerous thing to say. That's right. But to be honest, I reckon we feel these things all the time. Sometimes we're tempted to feel that church, it's just not worth the effort. Or that church is something that we do when we just don't have anything better on. And I'm not going to try to convince you that the sermons that you're listening to are not boring. But I am going to try to show you that church is so much bigger than all of those things. That church is something that we can and should love, not because it's perfect, not because it meets our expectations, but because God loves the church. And even a church that we might think is mediocre at times, he thinks it's glorious. And so two headings today, two things we're going to see. Firstly, church is people built together by God. Secondly, church is a billboard to the universe. And thirdly, how this should affect Sundays. Well, firstly, church is a people built together by God. Something that's really clear when you go into the New Testament to see what it says about church is that church is not a building, church is people. It's not a building, it's people. Overwhelmingly across the New Testament, there's a Greek word that's used to talk about church. It's a Greek word, ekklesia. Now, I'm not trying to be too technical here, but this is really helpful, really important, because this word ekklesia means gathering or assembly or congregation. Church is a group of people who gather or who congregate. And we see this from the very beginning, that the church would gather together as a group, and they would be gathering together around the word of God or the apostles' teaching. We see this in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. This early first church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. You see, they weren't meeting in a fancy church building. They were meeting in a room somewhere, but they were meeting together. They were gathered. In biblical terms, this building here is not a church. In fact, there's nothing particularly special or holy about this building. This building is not a sanctuary. This area up the front here is not special or holy. This is not a temple. This place is no more holy than any other foot of ground in the whole of the suburb. This building, it's not special. This is not a church. This building is very handy, and we're really thankful to have it because it keeps, mostly now, keeps the rain off our heads. It keeps the sun off our heads. We have air conditioning. We have lighting. It is a very comfortable and helpful and wonderful place for a church to meet, for a church to gather. This physical building is not a church, but neither is a denomination. A denomination is not a church. Anglican, Baptist, Presbyterian, Charismatic, Orthodox, these are denominations or types of churches, but they're not churches themselves because they don't all meet together. You don't have all Baptists together in one place, gathering, assembling, congregating. You don't have all Anglicans together, assembling, congregating, meeting. These denominations are more like collections of churches, groups of churches that serve each little individual local church in very close partnership. So the church is not, this building is not church, the denomination is not church, but church is a building of sorts. This is confusing, I'm sorry about this. Church is a building of sorts because it's a building that God is gathering together and building. Have a look there. It's coming up on the screen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. This was read for us earlier. Peter writes, and he's writing here not to individual believers, he's writing to churches. And he says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Peter here, he's picking up some imagery from the Old Testament and he's describing Jesus as the living stone, the living foundation everything else is built on. And he says that as you come to Jesus, you are like a little living stone built together by God. God himself picks you up and builds you into what he calls a spiritual house or a temple. Peter here is describing, first and foremost, what we would call the heavenly church, which is the gathering of all believers, past and present, with Christ right now. Because we are following Jesus, we're connected to him. Paul describes it as we are in Christ. We're united to Jesus by his Holy Spirit, which means that we're connected to him. It's a connection that can't be broken. And because we are connected to him, we are spiritually located with Jesus. And where is Jesus right now? He's in heaven. And so if we are connected to him, we are located with him in heaven right now, spiritually. That's where we are. And we see this idea really clearly in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2, verses 6 and 7, Peter writes, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." You see, if you're a Christian and you're in Christ, then you have already, he's talking here present tense, already been raised with Christ spiritually to be part of the spiritual heavenly church. If you're a Christian, you already have one foot in heaven, your spiritual foot. You're connected there. You're sitting here in this room, yes, but you're also seated spiritually in heaven through your connection to Christ, gathered around the throne, a member of the heavenly gathering, the heavenly church. And we see this idea really clearly in the book of Revelation. John has this vision of what's going on in heaven right now. This is not the future. This is present day for John. And this is what he sees. He says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" You see, brick by brick, person by person, God is building his church. As the gospel goes out to the world, to the nations, and people meet Jesus and come to him as their Lord and their Savior, they're united to him. and they're brought into his church and they're gathered around his throne and they sing his praises. There's no such thing as a lone wolf Christian. None. There's no such thing. Because to be a Christian is to be part of the church, the heavenly spiritual church, firstly. And the heavenly church is real, but we don't see it yet. We don't feel that yet, do we? What we do see are the smaller, local expressions of church that meet here and now. Each and every local church, if they are a true church teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, is a local expression of this heavenly church. And these local churches, while they don't look as impressive as that heavenly one, they're still precious to God. They're precious. Peter writes to the churches in 1 Peter chapter 2, and he says, but you, and he's not talking to anyone singularly, he's talking to a church, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You see what he says about church? These churches that he was writing to, they are chosen. They are God's special possession. They are precious to God. God owns everything in the universe. What could possibly be precious to him? What could possibly be his treasured possession? You know what it is? His church. His church. Do you know how precious church is to God? He bought and paid for his church by the blood of his own son, didn't he? Paul says in Ephesians 5:25, speaking to husbands and wives, he says, husbands, love your wives. And what's his example of costly love? Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. See, Jesus loves his church. Jesus gave himself up for his church. Jesus sacrificed his life for his church. And so can I say, us gathered together here today, the 10 a.m. church here at St. Aidan's, you are precious to God. We are his treasured possession, dear to his heart, dearly loved. And God's intention is not just that we exist as this wonderful, wonderful possession that sits on the shelf, but his intention is that we as his possession declare his praises to the universe. We're going to see a lot of this towards the end of our series, but this is really important for us. Each church is a billboard to the universe. That's our final point this morning. Church is a billboard to the universe. Now, I know as you're driving along out on the streets, you see signs everywhere. And can I say that during the day, billboards, you just ignore them. During the day, they just fade into insignificance because they're everywhere. But at nighttime, you can't miss them. At nighttime, when they're lit up against the dark sky, billboards are unmissable. In fact, they take our attention from the road to the signs. They draw our attention. They declare something to the world, to Sydney. God's church is meant to be like a billboard, lit up, drawing attention. God says that his church should be like this, not advertising Coke, but showing his wisdom to the universe and his glory to the universe. Open your Bibles, please, to chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7 to 10. And I'm going to read out this section here. Maybe can we just take that off the screen for the moment, please, Graham? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. Paul writes this. He's talking about his ministry. He's talking about the gospel of that has brought people together who were once enemies but brought and reconciled. And he says this, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me. And what's the grace? This is his grace. To preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Paul is saying that the church is at the very center of God's plan for the universe. God's plan had been hidden up until now. No one knew how God was going to save the world. But finally, the gospel has been revealed, and Paul gets to declare it to the world that it is through the church God's glory will be shown to the powers and rulers in the heavenly realms. Or if we go down to verse 20 and verse 21, Paul says this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Can you see what's going on here? What God's plan is for his church? When God wants to show his wisdom and glory to the angels, he points to his church. When God wants to show his wisdom and glory to Satan, he points to his church. When God wants to show how he has won and Satan has lost, he points to his church. When God wants to show the magnitude of his love and his mercy, he points to us. He points to his church. Not because we're particularly glorious, but because where is God's mercy seen to its fullest extent? It's seen in us, isn't it? His mercy is shown most spectacularly in this ragtag bunch of broken-hearted failures who were once enemies of God but have been brought together by his mercy. When God wants to show his love to its fullest depths, he points to his church. Because we are the gathering of people who were once lost and deserving of his wrath, but now have been lovingly healed and restored and forgiven. And now that love overflows so that we serve each other in love. Where is God's power seen most wonderfully? It's seen in his church, because he takes people who were like stones, hearts that were hard and rock, and he transforms us. He gives us new hearts. He raises us to life spiritually, and he renews our spirits. He transforms us. God's glory is seen most clearly in his church. Because every day he's shaping us to be a bit more like Jesus. Every day his mercy to us is new. Every day his love is broadcast by the fact that he loves us. You see, it's in the church that God's glory and majesty, his grace and his compassion are on display. It's in the church that his endless love is shown. We are God's billboard. Because if he can save us, he can save anyone. If he can forgive us, he can forgive anyone. If he can transform us, he can transform anyone. So you see, when God sees us, when God sees his church, he sees something that is precious. Precious. Something that shows and reflects his glory to the universe. So how should then this affect Sundays. Over the course of this series, we want to take these big truths that we see and see how they should affect church, what we do, how we do it, why we do it. And I think this one here, I'd love to hear actually how you see this should affect Sundays. Maybe tell me afterwards. But I think there is one very clear thing here for us. Do you see church how God sees church? Is church something that is precious to you? Because God literally moved heaven and earth to build his church. So we sometimes see church as uninspiring or unimpressive. God sees it as unmissable. This is precious to him. And if church is at the very center of God's plans for the universe and the proclamation of his glory, is church at the center of our plans for this week or this month or this year? Are we, as God's gathered people here, do we see how precious this is to God and to us, to God and to the universe? We're going to go on and see across this series that we are a family that meet together, and we meet to love and serve each other, that we are more like a lifeboat here than a cruise ship. We're a lifeboat calling people to be saved rather than just going about our own business, having a joyful time ourselves. We're a lighthouse declaring that God's praises to the world. I'm saying this not to make anyone here feel guilty. This is, as we come to see that this is where God's mercy is on display most majestically, this shouldn't leave us feeling guilty, because we have a God of endless mercy who never, ever leads us to feel guilty anymore. He has crushed our guilt on Jesus. This is not to make me feel better by having more people come along. This is to show us that church is God's unmissable plan for this world. He doesn't want you here to so you can impress him. He's not more impressed whether you're here or not, but you're here. He wants you here because this matters to him. Church matters to him. Church is precious to him, and he wants it to be precious to you and to me. That's my hope and prayer, that over the rest of this series, we will come to see with ever-increasing depth how precious church is to God and to the world, and the effect that a church that is living as a family together and on mission together can have on a suburb and a city and the world too. Let's pray as we've heard some things that are so helpful for us. Heavenly Father, thank you that you do indeed love your church. Thank you that you have shown us mercy that we can't even fully comprehend. Thank you that in Christ all of our sin and shame and guilt has been crushed. That you no longer look on us with frustration or disappointment, but you look on us as your beloved children. You look on us together as your precious church. We pray that you will help us to see church how you see it. Help us to talk about it, how you talk about your church. Help us to love church how you love it. And we pray that you'll keep building us up and growing us as your faithful servants. Amen.